My dad used to tell me a story about when he was a boy growing up in rural Louisiana, farming community. And he and his sister very rarely had the opportunity to have any store-bought candy. And in the springtime, the mailman would bring some candy, a sample, but it actually wasn't candy. What it was chocolated X-Lax. And it came in a bar, a chocolate bar. And he and his sister knew about what time that came every year, and so every day as that time approached, they would run out to the mailbox and they would check it to see if that chocolate had come. And on the day when it arrived, knowing full well what the consequences were going to be, they took that chocolate bar and divided it in half, and each one of them ate a half. Life is filled with decisions, isn't it? And consequences, some more serious than others. In fact, our lives are pretty much a compilation of the decisions that we make. Life is filled with the decisions. Some are significant, others are less significant, and unfortunately, we don't always know which ones are the really important ones. So we need a consistent standard by which we make decisions and learn how to make good decisions and make good decisions consistently in our life, because everything depends on our ability to do that. There are obviously different standards which people use. Some people feel, for instance, that it's okay to abort a child. Others feel it's murder. Pretty significant differences, aren't there, about the standard that we use to make decisions? We make decisions about everything. The world has a standard, and you can pretty well summarize a world standard with the phrase, if it feels good, do it. That's the world standard. Now, it's a little phrase that people can't pick up and repeat over and over, but that's the standard by which decisions are made. But we as Christians live by different standards. God has made certain decisions for us, and the only decision we have to make is, are we going to obey God or are we not going to obey Him? He'll say things like, thou shalt do so-and-so, and thou shalt not do so-and-so. Those decisions are made. You just make the decision, are you going to abide by what the Lord tells you or not? But it's not so much for us as Christians those matters as it is those matters that fall in the middle. Those matters about which we have no explicit law. We only have principles to guide us. And we are in the process, this is the second half of a lesson that we began last week, of looking at some principles that God uses to guide our decisions. And last lesson we looked at four principles. Will it be spiritually profitable? Will it slow me down in the race? Does it enslave? And am I using it as a cover for my sin? And you can go back and pick up the CD or the tape if you'd like to hear the lesson on that if you were unable to hear it. So we continue with this thought. And the fifth principle by which we use to make decisions as Christians is found in Romans chapter 14, verse 2 through 8. Romans chapter 14, verse 2 through 8. And in this context here, really incredible context here, the first part of this chapter, he uses two illustrations about how we make decisions about what we will eat and how we make decisions about whether or not we consider a certain day special or not. And there's a couple of principles involved. In fact, there's a number of principles in this whole chapter, but the couple that I want to bring out is, first of all, there is the principle that every Christian should live in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, right? I mean, that's one of the principles by which we live. And another principle is, we don't always 100% agree on what the Lord would have us do. You agree with that? to be honest with you and not to insult you, it doesn't matter if you agree or not. That's just the way it is. We don't agree all the time on what the Lord is saying here. We think sometimes if the Lord had just said about everything, thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do this, then all our problems would be solved. But I have some news for you. It wouldn't be solved. The Lord said, thou shalt not kill. Do we all agree on what that means? We don't, do we? And so even if he had said, thou shalt and thou shalt not about every single possible thing in our lives, we'd still have some decisions to make, wouldn't we? About what did he mean? Exactly did he mean by that? So here's the principle from Romans chapter 14, verse 2 through 8. You must obey your conscience. Will it violate the lordship of Christ in my life? That's the principle there. Am I submitting to the rule of the Lord in my life? And the way that I make a connection, one of the ways that I make a connection, after I have studied God's word, I have considered it, I have tried to apply it, then my conscience becomes attuned to my understanding. And that conscience is a connection between me and the Lord. And I have an obligation to my conscience. If you violate your conscience, you sin. It's that simple. Paul will say that in this context, and he'll say it more plainly in other contexts. If you violate your conscience, you sin. Your conscience is the recognition that you have a standard of right and wrong. You believe this to be right, you believe this to be wrong, and you have an obligation to live by that conscience. And so one of the things that rules and regulates, one of the principles that determines what decisions we make in life is, am I violating my conscience? And that's a really, really important one. The New Testament has a lot to say about our conscience. In fact, that provides the basis for verse 23 in this context. It says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You need to put those two principles together. And sometime we will in more detail. But it has to do with you living up to your conscience. And so he will conclude, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Does this violate my conscience? Thus, the Lord's rule in my life. There's one of the principles. The next principle, the sixth principle that we'll look at, will it help other Christians by my example? And I would use, and there are a number of passages we could use, but I would use 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Be careful that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Remember, other people are watching you. Even when you don't know they're watching you. Other people are watching you. They're taking their cue from you about how to live life. Remember Romans chapter 14, verse 7. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. We don't live in isolation in this world. And we don't really want to. The only time we want to live in isolation is when we're doing something that we know is wrong, isn't it? But we really don't want to live in isolation. We want to be able to exercise an influence on people that we love, right? Let me ask you a question. Do you want your children and your grandchildren to attend church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night Bible study? My oldest daughter, Jana, remember one time her telling me she was impressed with a couple that she knew, that we mutually knew, and she was telling me that they had traveled somewhere on vacation, and even though on Sunday afternoon they were tired, they said whenever they stopped wherever they were every Sunday night to attend church. And then she commented in that same conversation, she said, you know, that really tells you a lot about somebody, doesn't it? Well, my story's not through yet, okay? She later was telling me, you know, remember her line was, that really tells you a lot about somebody, right? She was telling me later that about her family had taken a trip, a long trip, and on their way back, it came time for church assembly time, and they were passing through a town, and she's telling me about it, and I guess, you know, maybe she feels like that she confesses it'll make it okay or something. But anyway, she said, we were so tired and Grant was asleep and we just drove straight through. Well, I couldn't help myself. I said, well, what does that tell us about you? And I'm still not through with my story yet. Because her report, she thought just a minute, she said, well, Dad, we didn't always stop when I was little. And I would like to say she was wrong. And in my defense, I will say there weren't many times that we didn't. But there were a few. There were a few. Consistency is so incredibly important. And is even though we may feel like it's not fair, then the cue that people take from us is sometimes not our consistency, but our lack of consistency. And we want to say, that's just not fair. But haven't we done the same thing? Particularly if we're looking for a loophole and we're making a decision, there's a decision facing us that we have to make, and we go back and we draw on our experience from what we know from our families and what we know from others and other people that we respect, and we use those as kind of a precedent, don't we? Good or bad. Number 7, will it lead others to Christ? And I would use 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 27 through 32. And the situation here is you have two Christians, one weak and one strong. We can say, let's just say, for the sake of making an illustration, one new convert, and then somebody that's been a Christian for a long time and they're mature. And they're eating, they've been invited to an unbeliever's home, and they have steak. And they are at these two Christians, one weak, one strong, they're in an unbeliever's home, and the steak has been purchased from an idol temple's butcher shop. The meat has been offered to an idol, but it only stayed out there just a little while, and it got aged, and it came through the butcher shop in the back of it, and it was made available, and it was good prime Angus ribeye, and it was cheaper than if you went down to another store and bought it. And so here we are, we're sitting here with this steak, and put yourself in the situation of the mature Christian, and the immature Christian looks at you and he whispers, wasn't this meat, didn't this come from that idol butcher shop? I-D-O-L, not I-D-L-E, idol butcher shop. You've got a decision to make. And you know what your decision is in your mind from a practical standpoint? Who are you going to offend? Right? You're just about to offend somebody. There's no way out of it. This guy's invited you over to eat this steak. He thought enough of you to invite you over. And yet here's this younger Christian, and he's looking at this, and you can tell this is bothering his conscience, and he's watching you. What are you going to do? And Paul said, to eat, when you sit down and there's something put before you, eat it without asking any questions. And you're doing that, but this guy beside you asked the question. And so now you've got to make a decision. Who are you going to offend? Well, what principle are you going to use to make this decision? Somebody's going to be offended in this. Will it lead others to Christ? You know who you're going to offend? The unbeliever. Paul said, push it back. Don't eat it. And you say, but this guy invited me, and he's a friend of mine, even though he's not a Christian. You know, I'm trying to work with him, make it well. If you are, then impress him about your concern for your brother. He knows you like ribeye steak, particularly prime Angus. He knows you like that. That's why he made it and invited you over. But when he sees you push it back and you explain to him why, either now or later, then you have impressed him with something. And hopefully, I can't say, I don't know what his reaction is going to be. But I know that you will have made a stronger friend of this brother, who's the one who's really most important in this situation. And you're showing this friend of yours who's an unbeliever some concern, some love, some submission, so that he can conclude, now there's a relationship that I'd like to be part of. Because I know Ken likes that steak. Boy, I've seen him eat it before. And I know he likes that steak. And if he foregoes the steak, there must be something here I don't know something about. And you make a decision, will it lead others to Christ? And then number eight, what would Jesus do? Now, we've heard that since our childhood, hadn't we? It's based on the principle of 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. What would Jesus do? That's one of the little practical things that we can say, a principle that we can apply whenever we're thinking about making a decision in our life. And you know, this principle, when properly applied, will make you talk when you would prefer to be silent. And it will make you be silent when you would prefer to talk. But I have to say of this one also, this is a judgment call, isn't it? And two people can apply that principle to the same situation. They might come up with a different conclusion. It's a judgment call here. What would Jesus do? Well, how you apply that depends on two things. How well do you know Jesus? That's one thing that applies that has to be taken into consideration. And number two, how conscientious are you about applying that principle? Or is it just something you use to gloss over and say, well, I think Jesus would do so-and-so. But to accurately apply that principle, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. What would Jesus do? To accurately apply that helps us make right decisions in our life. And then number nine, will it glorify God? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's our sole purpose in life. Whether we live or whether we die, it's for one purpose, to glorify God. Obviously, that overlaps with what would Jesus do, and in fact, it overlaps with all of them. Will this exalt God? Will it make God attractive to others? Making hard decisions easy. Well, that's a little bit of a misnomer, isn't it? Making hard decisions easier. I think maybe that's better. Because I don't know of any way to make hard decisions easy. There are lots of things involved in making decisions in life. There are personalities, there are feelings, there are emotions. There are all kinds of things. We bring baggage to decisions, don't we? But we as Christians, we don't make decisions based on the things that the world does. If it feels good, do it. That's not the basis for our decision. We have something that more directly brings us and other people closer to God with every decision we make. Will it be spiritually profitable? Will it slow me down in a race? Does it enslave? Am I using it as a cover for my sin? Will it violate the lordship of Christ in my life? Will it help other Christians by my example? Will it lead others to Christ? What would Jesus do? Will it glorify God? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33. Even Paul said, As I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Decisions. Your life is the sum total of decisions that you have made and are making in your life. Make good, wise decisions, and your life will become better. Consistently make right decisions, even when it doesn't feel good. Because that's the way that we move our life in the direction that the Lord wants us to go. And by the way, we have a responsibility to educate our conscience. You know that, right? Is it not true that there are some things about what your conscience used to bother you and it doesn't anymore? Or vice versa? There are some things that used to not bother you that bother you now. You see, you're educating your conscience. You're opening God's word and you're applying it to your life, and it's bringing you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. We're being conformed to his image. It's becoming our nature. And we do that by making right decisions. And I would ask you this morning, is there a decision that you really need to make in your life right now? That either you've made a wrong decision about it, or you've put it off. Maybe to become a child of God. Or maybe there's some sin in your life that you know is coming between you and the Lord, and you just keep pushing it off, this thing of repentance. The Lord has brought you to this moment so that you'll make a right decision while we stand and sing.